We shall read from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhyalila chapter 16. The verse was written on the board of text 72, but I will first read text 70 and 71, and they give the background to text 72. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Gaur Chaitanya Jaya Gaur Bhaktavinda
Jaya Chaitanya Jaya Gaur Bhaktavinda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya
Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda
Madhyalila chapter 16, text 70. Prabhu kahe Vaishnavana. Oh, sorry. Idiom is text 69. Kulina grami purvat kailanya vedana. Prabhu avyakara amara kartavya sadhana. As in the previous year, one of the inhabitants of Kulina gram submitted a petition to the Lord, saying, My Lord, kindly tell me what my duty is and how I should execute it. Text 70. Prabhukahe Vaishnava Seva Nama Sankirtana Duikara Tigrakade Sri Krishna Charana. The Lord replied, You should engage yourself in the service of the servants of Krishna and always chant the holy name of Krishna. If you do these two things, you will very soon attain shelter at Krishna's lotus feet. Srinamkahe te Vaishnava Kirtan Yarlakshana Tadehate Kahi Tabu Sani Sanyamana. The inhabitants of Kulinagram said, Please let me know who is actually a Vaishnava and what his symptoms are. Understanding his mind, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu smiled and raised the following reply. So now we come to text 72. Please repeat responsibly. Krishna Nama,
Krishna Nama,
Nirantara,
Nirantara,
Yanhara,
Yanhara,
Vajane,
Vajane,
Te,
Vajnava
Shrestha,
Vajnava Shrestha,
Bhaja,
Bhaja,
Sanhara,
Sanhara,
Charane,
Charane,
Krishna Nama Nirantara Yantara Vadane,
Krishna Nama Nirantara Yantara Vadane,
Devashna Vashesha Bhaja Sanhara Charane,
Devashna Vashesha Bhaja Sanhara Charane,
Krishna Nama Nirantara Yamhara Bhajame
Krishna Nama Nirantara Yamhara Bhajame
Devaishnava Shrestha Bhaja Sanhara Charane
Devaishnava Shrestha Bhaja Sanhara Charane
Krishna Nama Nirantara Yamhara Bhajame
Krishna Nama Nirantara Yamhara Bhajame
Devaishnava Shrestha Bhaja Sanhara Charane
Devaishnava Shrestha Bhaja Sanhara Charane
Krishna Nama,
Krishna Nama,
the holy name of Lord Krishna,
the holy name of Lord Krishna,
Nirantara,
Nirantara,
incessantly,
incessantly,
Yanhara,
Yanhara,
whose, Vadane,
Vadane,
in the mouth,
in the mouth,
say, such a person,
such a person,
Vaishnava Shrestha,
Vaishnava Shrestha,
a first class Vaishnava, Bhaja, worship, Kanhara Charne, his lotus feet. Translation: a person who is always chanting the holy name of the Lord is to be considered a first class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve with lotus feet. A person who is always chanting the holy name
of the Lord
is to be considered a first class Vaishnava, and your duty is to serve his lotus feet. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that any Vaishnava who is constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord should be considered to have attained the second class form of Vaishnavism. Such a devotee is superior to a neophyte Vaishnava who has just learned to chant the holy name of the Lord. A neophyte devotee simply tries to chant the holy name, whereas the advanced devotee is accustomed to chanting and takes pleasure in it. Such an advanced devotee is called Madhyama Bhagavata, which indicates that he has attained the intermediate stage between the neophyte and the perfect devotee. Generally, a devotee in the intermediate stage becomes a preacher. A neophyte devotee, or an ordinary person, should worship the Madhyam Bhagavata, who is a Vaya Media. In his Upadesha Musa, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Kanati Dipcha Bhajantam Isham. This means that Madhyam Adhikari devotees should exchange obeisances between themselves. The word Nirantara, meaning without cessation, continuously, constantly, is very important in this verse. The word antara means integral. If one has desires other than a desire to perform devotional service, in other words, if one sometimes engages in devotional service and sometimes strives for sense gratification, his service will be interrupted. A pure devotee, therefore, should have no other desire than to serve Krishna. He should be above fruitive activity and speculative knowledge. In his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami says, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Karmajanabhyakam Anupudyena Krishna Nishivanam Bhakti Rasam. This is the platform of pure devotional service. One should not be motivated by fruitive activity or mental speculation, but should simply serve Krishna favorably. That is first class devotion. Another meaning of antara is this body. the body is an impediment to self-realization because it is always engaged in sense gratification. Similarly, Antaranga's money. If money is not used in Krishna's service, it is also an impediment. Antara also means janata, people in general. The association of ordinary persons may destroy the principles of devotional service. Similarly, antara may mean greed. Greed to acquire money or enjoy more sense gratification. Finally, the word antara may also mean atheistic idea by which one considers the temple deity to be made of stone, wood, or gold. All of these are impediments. The deity in the temple is not material. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. Similarly, considering the spiritual master an ordinary human being, Guru Srimadamati, is also an impediment. Nor should one consider a Vaishnava a member of a particular caste or nation. Nor should a Vaishnava be considered material. Charanamrita should not be considered ordinary drinking water. And the holy name of the Lord should not be considered an ordinary sound vibration. Nor should one look on Lord Krishna as an ordinary human being. For he is the origin of all Vishnu's efforts. Nor should one regard the Supreme Lord as a demigod. Intermingling the spiritual with the material causes one to look on transcendence as material and the mundane as spiritual. This is all due to a poor fund of knowledge. One should not consider Lord Vishnu and things related to him as being different. All this is offensive. As in the previous year, the residents of Kulunagram asked Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about their teaching. And as in the previous year, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied that you should chant the holy name without cessation and serve the Vaishnavas. And by these two practices you will attain the lotus feet of Krishna. So we know what is the holy name of Krishna. At least we know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that his holy name is identical to him, that by chanting the holy name of Krishna, we are in the association of Krishna. Nama Chintamani Krishna Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha. The holy name of Krishna is Chaitanya, it's conscious. It's alive, it's conscious. Rasa Vigraha, she form or personification of Rasa. Shruta is completely pure. Nitya Mukta is eternally liberated from material contamination. There's no difference between the name and that which the name refers to. For example, in the material world or the relative world, the name of something and what the name refers to are different. If we're thirsty, we chant water, 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 water. Simply chanting water, water will not quench our thirst because the word water and the substance water are different. But in the spiritual realm or absolute realm, the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are the same. And therefore, when we chant Krishna, Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna is personally present, dancing on our tongues. So when we chant the holy name of Krishna, and Krishna also includes his direct expansion of Vishnu Tattva, we are in the association of Krishna. And because Krishna is all pure, by his association, by the association of his holy name, we become purified. And we should chant Nirantara without cessation, as Srila Prabhupada has explained in the first part. We find the same instruction in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Shikshastaka, Chaitanya Sadahari, that one should always chant the holy name. Now someone may say, how can I always chant the holy name? I have to bathe, I have to dress, I have to eat, I have to maintain the body. I have a child, such as Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, have explained that to deal with the material world as far as necessary to keep the body and soul together is not against the principles of pure devotional service. As long as the goal is to serve Krishna, as long as the goal is to chant the holy name of Krishna, to engage in the basic requirements to exist in the material world, within the material body, is not outside of the instruction of Chaitanya Siddhartha or Krishna Niramakala. But we have to keep that as our goal. We have to keep Krishna in service to Krishna, service to the holy name of Krishna as the goal, as the center. Then whatever else we do in support of reaching that goal is accepted as part of the same process. But if our consciousness is first and foremost to take care of the body, and the bodies of the family member, or any extension of the body, and when there's time left, if and when there's time left, chance, then that is not the proper focus focus of the pure devotee. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srila Prabhupada and the Guru Parampara comes to teach us pure devotional service. That's why we're here, to hear about pure devotional service, to learn about it, and to practice it, to apply it in our lives. So yes, we can do what we have to keep the body and soul together in the world.
But the
purport should be to chant the holy name and serve the holy name and serve the Vaishnavas. Now the next question is, who is the Vaishnava? How can I recognize the Vaishnava? Because this is the central instruction. The previous year, Ethiraj Khan from Kulinagram had presented himself as a householder, as a materialistic person, and he asked, what is my duty as a householder and a materialistic man? And Moshe can reply to chant the holy name without cessation and to serve the Vaishnava. So this is not a life instruction. Vaishya Tanya gave it in response to the question of the previous year. He's giving it now, and next year the residents of Kulinagram will again ask the same question. And Shishya Kumaraka will again give the same answer. So it's an extremely important instruction to always chant the holy name and serve the Vaishnava. And in the previous year, and in the present case as well, the residents of Kulinagram wanted to know who is a Vaishnava. What are the symptoms of a Vaishnava? How do you recognize a Vaishnava? Otherwise, if you don't know who is a Vaishnava, you won't know who to serve. You won't know how to follow your instructions. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given the symptoms of an advanced devotee, that he is always chanting the holy name. Although the words Kanyukta, Madhyam, and Kuchama mean different. Well, they're translated in different ways. But here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that Kanyukta means Nyalpa, that's the beginning, the chant. Madhyam means a chant, and Kuchama means perfect. So, a Madhyam Vaishnava is not ordinary. In Vaishnava shape, that is the best of Vaishnavas. Any devotee, in the previous year, Sri Chaitanya Prabhu asked who is the Vaishnava. Sri Chaitanya said that anyone who chants the holy name of Krishna once, with faith, even if he's just beginning, but if he chants the holy name once with faith, he is a Vaishnava, and he says that Tabakari is the best among all human beings. But now, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying Vaishnava says the best, because the advanced devotee who's constantly chanting is the best among Vaishnavas. And your duty is to serve the lotus feet. The previous year, Lord Chaitanya said that one should respect the Vaishnava who even once chants the holy name with faith. But here, the instruction is a little stronger that one should serve the lotus feet of the Vaishnava with constantly chanting the holy name. Nirantara. Nirantara, the basic meaning is without cessation, continuously, continually. In other words, without any engagement, intense gratification, or mental speculation. And it also means, you know, without being engrossed in the body,
without being engrossed in accumulating money and spending money for some gratification. It means without being greedy to make more money and enjoy some gratification. And finally, it means without atheistic ideas. And then in the purport, she was about paraphrases and expands upon the words from the Padma Purana that says that, you know, anyone who thinks that the deity is just a stone statue, anyone who thinks that this was meant in an ordinary being, anyone who thinks that a Vaishnava belongs to a particular caste or community, you know, anyone who thinks that Chinnam is out of ordinary drinking water, the Ganges is ordinary water, and so on. Not a mushy. He has a hellish mentality. But sometimes she would tell if I would say he's a resident of hell. Sometimes temples in India try to exclude devotees from entering the temple and seeing the deity because they are not Indian or not Hindus. So maybe around 1974, through the agency of one of his friends, one should have called up then, Swami Chinmayananda was actually quite a great Mayavadi in India. He wrote a very nice letter to all temple authorities in India. I think on the letterhead of this written Parshad, in which he quoted the words from the Padma Purana, saying that these are genuine Vaishnavas. They have all the markings of Vaishnavas, tilak and neck beads. They follow the standard behavior of Vaishnavas. They refrain from eating meat, fish, and eggs, and fish and chocolate, and gambling and happiness, etc. And, you know, all in all, they are sincere devotees of Krishna. They should be allowed to be in the temple. And he quoted this verse. So these are material conceptions. They're very common everywhere. And especially because we're discussing in the context of Vedic culture, you can say they're very common among people who are born in the Vedic tradition, consider themselves part of the Vedic tradition. And of course, considering Krishna to be an ordinary human being, considering the body of Krishna to be material, these are all atheistic ideas. And a Madhyam Vaishnava is Nirantara. He is free from these atheistic ideas. Now we know theoretically the philosophy, but in practice, how much have we realized it? How clean is our heart? You know, I'm reminded of when the holiness Vasu Tirtha Swami was in the devotion, and he was just coming to Krishna consciousness and approach Srila Prabhupada and say, Srila Prabhupada, you know, within your movement there's prejudice against black people. His counsel was to be a spiritual movement, but there's prejudice against black people. And Srila Prabhupada replied, if you're disturbed, that means you're the same as that. Many of you also identify with the body, and you're no different from them. And His Holiness Bhakti Krishna Swami really appreciated the answer, because it wasn't, oh, this is terrible, we should do something about it. It was, what about you? Are you really any different from them? I think sometimes devotees complain about other devotees. Oh, they're just doing it for name and fame. And they're disturbed about it. Well, why are you disturbed about it? I mean, you also want name and fame. You're disturbed because they're getting the name and fame instead of you. Otherwise, why should it bother you? So, Nirantara means free from these material deception. And so we are from frequently material conception, we tend to mistake the material for the spiritual and the spiritual for the material. And consequently we commit offenses. The main qualification of the Vaishnava, there are 26 qualities of the Vaishnava, but the main qualification is Krishna Dasharanga. The Vaishnavas have taken full shelter of Krishna. So if someone has the primary qualification of having taken exclusive shelter of Krishna, he is considered a Vaishnava, even if all the other 25 qualities are not manifest or fully manifest in him. But if one doesn't have the main qualification of Krishna and Krishna, even if he has all the other 25 qualities, there is no particular value. There's that declaration of the dead body. So, ordinary people may become confused. Someone may have genuinely taken shelter of the holy name of Krishna, but may not have all the other qualities, so they may think, oh, that person is not a devotee, that person is not humble. Devotees are humble. And again, that usually means that person is not respecting me properly. You should be humble enough to be properly respect. Amanina, amana, jena. You should be offering respect to everyone, beginning with me. They're not offering me respect, that means they're not humble. But they're not devotees. That's not a real devotee. But actually, the person is a real devotee if he has that qualification of having taken full shelter of Krishna's holy name. And by disrespecting the person, we're committing offenses, and that's a step out of here for progress. Our progress is changing. So that's just one example. In the Bhakti Sandarbha 265, Srila Jiva Goswami writes, Namaikam yasya vachi smarana patagatam ityadi deha jaganadi vinitika pashanda tadena cha dasha aparada lakshyante pashanda madhyat vatesham. So The Mayavadis look on Vishnu and Vaishnava imperfectly. Now there is an interesting point here about this book, this older version of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I spoke with some of the editors of Prabhupada's books, and the original 17 volumes of Chaitanya Charitamrita were produced in 2 months. Srila Prabhupada was very disturbed because he had translated so many books that weren't published. And he was discouraged. He wanted to have the books in print. And so he told the managers of the press in Los Angeles that he wanted the whole Chaitanya Charitamrita, 17 volumes, produced in 2 months. And the main manager said, it's impossible. That impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And then he said, well, what if we can't do it? And he said, disqualification. So they did it. They organized themselves to work literally 24 hours a day. They would have shifts. And there were many departments. The transcribing department, the editing department, the composing department, the art department, because there were the illustrations for all the books, the Sanskrit department. So it was a real marathon. And they did it. It was a miracle. But by Krishna's grace, they did it. But one thing they couldn't do in every case was provide the translations for Sanskrit verses that Srila Prabhupada quoted. Especially the verses like this one here. From Bhakti Pandava, which is very difficult Sanskrit prose and which Prabhupada hadn't even begun to translate. So in the later edition of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, they added the translation. And the translation here is actually very important. And I'll try to paraphrase it. That's why you see why there's a Sanskrit quotation, but no translation, because they just didn't have time. And they considered, you know, that they didn't want to hold up the production, but that's what it goes through. Namakam yasya vashi smaranam patalgatam. He's saying that in the verse, because our acharyas, the six Goswamis and their followers, they always cite verses from Shastra, especially Srimad Bhagavatam, that's the main authority, and other Shastras, Padma Purana, Vishnu Purana, all the Vedic literature. So he says, in the verse that begins Namakam yasya, we find the word Pashanda. Pashanda means atheistic. And that was the last list in the series of various meanings of Nirantara, atheistic. So Pashanda means atheistic. And then Prabhupada explained different variations of his atheistic conception about the deity, Charanamrita, the spiritual master, the Vaishnava, Charanamrita, Ganges, Guadalupe, Krishna himself. It says, it includes the word Pashanda, which will lead one to commit offenses. And therefore, one should be careful to avoid offenses when chanting the holy name. Now, the verbs that begin namaikam yasya, we do have offenses. It's from the Padma Purana, but it is quoted in Sutta Vinayakarana. And I'll read it because it's important. It explains a little more about Nirantara or Ashanda, atheistic ideas. This is Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. I'm giving the chapter 3, the glories of Bhagavad Thakur. Bhagavad Thakur is speaking about the glories of the holy name. Translation. If the devotee once utters the holy name of the Lord, or if it penetrates his mind, or enters his ear, which is the channel of oral reception, the holy name will certainly deliver him from material bondage. Whether vibrated properly or improperly, with correct or incorrect grammar, and properly joined or vibrated in separate parts. O Brahman, the potency of the holy name is therefore certainly great. Now Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments on this part of the word, and he says that if one chants with a sincere desire to serve Krishna and please Krishna and realize Krishna, and even if his pronunciation is improper or incorrect, he still is delivered from material bondage by the mercy of the holy name, because the holy name is so powerful. But it doesn't refer to chanting, you know, negligently. It doesn't refer to a materialistic person who happens to chant the holy name. A guru, a Hare Krishna baby, was pretty nice. I think I'm going to do something about that. That utterance of the holy name by a materialistic person in a materialistic mood is not going to deliver him from material bondage. But if one doesn't really, if someone's new and doesn't really understand how to pronounce properly, but is really sincere and has faith in Krishna and the holy name and chant, even if he doesn't pronounce the words properly, he'll be delivered as opposed to the holy name. Now, the second part of this verse. However, if one uses the vibration of the holy name for the benefit of the material body, for material wealth and followers, or under the influence of greed or atheism, there's that word, ashanda, atheism. In other words, if one utters the name with offenses, such chanting will not produce the desired result very soon. Therefore, one should diligently avoid offenses in chanting the holy name of the Lord. So, here's the purport here. But it's the same idea, but if you have these atheistic conceptions, these mundane ideas, you'll commit offenses, and then that offense will interfere with the benefit that you should get from Christianity. Of course, the Padma Purana does say that if one does commit offenses, one should continue to chant, and that by continuing to chant, while trying to give up offenses, while trying to rectify oneself and become free from offenses, one will become free from offenses eventually. So, in any case, we have to keep chanting. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the scriptures, our acharyas, have given us instructions so that we can avoid committing offenses when we chant. And especially offenses against Vaishnavas, which is the most harmful type of offense. Because there's also Guru Abhagya, disobeying the orders of the spiritual master, disrespecting the spiritual master. That's also Vaishnava Akala. But it's also Guru Akala. Like someone gave the example that you might break a law. You know, there might be like local ordinances, state laws, and federal laws, but you might break a law, and you're like breaking two laws. You're breaking a state law, and you're also breaking a federal law. So yeah, Guru Akarada is a type of vaishnava, but it's also a challenge. But the conclusion of the purport here is that the holy name has so much spiritual potency that it can deliver one from all sinful reactions and material entanglements. But utterance of the holy name will not be very soon fruitful if done to facilitate sinning. That's another major offense to the non-sense of sin. The holy name is so powerful that it must act. But when one utters the holy name with offenses, its action will be delayed, not to be here. Although in favorable circumstances, the holy name of the Lord acts very quickly. So there are many verses to the effect that there's one verse from the Bhagavatam that if, in spite of chanting the holy name, if one's heart does not melt and one does not feel ecstatic transformations within his body, then his heart should be considered sealed frame. Again, the third part of the verse is the mood that the person is committing offenses, and therefore not able to feel the pleasure that one should feel from chanting. But here in the third part, in relation to the advanced devotee among the Bhagavad Gita, that Sri Prabhupada does, that he's accustomed to chanting the holy name and he takes pleasure. That means that his offenses are greatly reduced, and therefore he takes pleasure. It's not a chore. Like one devotee said that in the beginning, he used to think that the 16 rounds were an impediment to all the other things he had to do. And then after many years of chanting, he came to feel that all the other things he has to do were an impediment to chanting. So, Pashanda The Mayavadis look on Vishnu and Vaishnavas imperfectly due to their poor fund of knowledge, and this is down. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.2.46, the intermediate Vaishnava is described as follows. Ishware tadabhineshu bhavisheshu vitatsusha prema maitri kripokasha sakaloshu samasana. The intermediate Vaishnava has to love God, make friends with the devotee, and instruct the innocent, and reject the envious. These are the four functions of the Vaishnava in the intermediate stage. So prema maitri kripokasha, give our love to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we make friendship with devotees, we give mercy to the innocent, and we avoid the enemy. So that function of giving mercy, that belongs to the Supreme Vaishnava. And therefore we say that generally the creature comes from the category of the Vaishnavas, because it's the duty of the creature is to give mercy. In Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, chapter 22, text 64, Sri Sanatana Goswami is taught, Shadavanjana Haya Bhakti Adhikari Uttama Madhima Kanishta Shada Anusayi. One who is faithful to the proper candidate for devotional service. In terms of one's degree of faith and devotional service, one is a first class, second class, or neophyte Vaishnava. So, adult Shraddha, everything begins from faith, and therefore faith is one, is the basic qualification for advancement in devotional service. And according to how much faith one has, one is categorized as Kanishna or Ishma. Shastriyukti nahi jane vidha shadavan madhyama adhikari se mahabhagyavan. One who has attained the intermediate stage is not very advanced in Shastric knowledge, but he has firm faith in the Lord. Such a person is very fortunate to be situated on the intermediate platform. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 267. Shasu prema charat madhya bhakti paratama. Attraction and love are the ultimate goal of devotional service. The degrees of such attraction and love distinguish the different stages of devotion. Neophyte, intermediate, and professional. So faith is so important, it's an important commodity. So we must guard it very carefully and help it to grow. And therefore, again, these two things, asat samjyada e vaishnava shad, sri sandhu e gatvada krishna bhakta. You should avoid association that will be detrimental to our faith. And asat samjyada, we should give up the association of asat. Asat means those who are not truthful devotees. Asat samjyada e vaishnava shad. That's the behavior of a vaishnava who gives up asat. Some of the association of those who are not truthful devotees. And who are these asat types? Sri Sangi Ekasadhu Krishna Bhakta. One is someone who's attached. Sri Sangi is someone who's attached to women and enjoying material life. He may be a devotee. But if he's too attached to sense gratification, he shouldn't associate with him. And Krishna Bhakta, someone who's not a devotee of Krishna. like demigod worshippers, they're of God. There's a verse in Shastra that it's better to be encased in a cage of fire than to associate with demigod worshippers. And Srila Ramanujacharya, who paraphrased the statement from Shastra to his disciple, he said, if you're burning in a cage of fire, and the only way that you can escape being burnt alive in the fire is to take shelter of a temple where demigods are worshipped, it's better to be burned alive in the fire. Because being burnt alive in the fire can disrupt your devotional service just for one lifetime when you take birth or continue where you left off. Even a little engagement of devotional service protects one from the most dangerous type of fear. And whatever progress one has made in the present life will continue in the next life. So it doesn't really interrupt your devotional service. It just ends it in this life and then you continue in the next. But if you associate with demigod worshipers or any type of asat, any type of prasanna. In fact, there's another verse that those who see the demigods and Lord Vishnu on the same level as prasanna. So by associating with prasanna, by atheistic type of people, one's devotional service can be destroyed. And if it takes many lifetimes, you don't know how long to gain one spiritual position in devotional service. So that's why it's better to burn alive than to take the fire and to associate with seven type of creatures. Because any type of prasanna, atheist, misconception can destroy one's principles. It can induce one to commit offenses. And the offenses are actually what destroy one's devotional service. But by associating with asat, with non-devotees, with materialistic devotees, just atheists, one is drawn into offensive thoughts and offensive speech and ultimately offensive behavior. And then one's, you know, devotional principles. An intermediate devotee is greatly attracted to chanting the holy name, and by chanting he is elevated to the platform of love. If one chants the holy name of the Lord with great attachment, he can understand his position as an eternal servant of the spiritual master, other Vaishnavas, and Krishna himself. Thus, the intermediate Vaishnava considers himself Krishna Das, Krishna's servant. And because the holy name of Krishna is Krishna himself, so the advanced Vaishnava realizes that he's the eternal servant of the holy name. And if these other Vaishnavas as servants of the holy name. He sees himself as eternal servant of the holy name and as the servants of the holy name. Therefore, he preaches Krishna consciousness to innocent neophyte and stresses the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So, we general people, like the residents of Kamunagra, they need to know who is the Vaishnava so they can serve attempt to address Mahaprabhu's instruction, which is the holy name of the Vaishnava. But the marginal Vaishnava, he has to be able to clearly distinguish between the Lord, the devotee, the innocent people, and the envious. Because he has to deal differently with each category. He gives his love to the Supreme Lord, he makes friends with the devotees, he shows mercy to the innocent, and he avoids the evil. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that the neglect of the envious by the Madhyam Vaishnava, by the preacher, is actually a demonstration of his mercy. Because if a preacher tries to preach to the envious person will get angry and starts blasting, and then the Vaishnava will also get angry. I mean, he can tolerate, you know, insult to himself, but he can't tolerate it. Krishna's been offended, or devotional services being offended, or other Vaishnavas have been offended. So they'll become angry, and the hostility will escalate. So we don't preach to envious people. We only preach to innocent people who are open. But if someone's envious and we try to preach to them, they're just going to get more offensive, and that's bad for them, and we're going to have to defend Krishna and the devotees, and they're going to get more upset. So that injunction, upeksha, to neglect them, it's actually for their good. It's not that, you know, they're so bad, we don't have anything to do with them, but it's actually for their benefit that we don't preach to them. Because if we try to preach to them, they become angry. They become angry and then they start to say so many things, and we have to counter what they say. They get more angry, we get more angry. And it's like, oh, I looked up and said, okay, no more discussion. Just read the Christian book. He therefore preaches Krishna consciousness to innocent people and stresses the importance of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. An intermediate devotee can identify the non-devotee or motivated devotee. He can distinguish between a motivated devotee and a pure devotee. The motivated devotee or the non-devotee are on the material platform and they are called prakruta. The intermediate devotee does not mix with such materialistic people. However, if he understands that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everything related to him are on the same transcendental platform, actually none of them are mundane. So, the Prakriti Bhakta, he's called Bhakta. It's sort of a contradiction in terms, because Bhakta is transcendental, and Prakriti means material. So how can a Bhakta use Prakriti? So our acharyas have explained that because of the injunction not to associate with those who are not Bhakta, but Krishna Bhakta are, how would materialistic people who are inclined to devotional service, who want to make a beginning of devotional service, how would they ever make advancement if they deny the association of devotees? So therefore they're called the Prakriti Bhakta. Although they're still on the material platform, but they're considered Bhakta, and therefore the more advanced devotees are allowed to associate with them. But still, they recognize that they are on the material platform, and therefore although they associate with them, to encourage them to come to a higher level of Krishna consciousness, they don't make intimate friendship with them. Their real intimate friends are other Madhyam Bhagava, who are pure devotees. Madhyam Bhagava is considered pure devotees because you're not pure. You've engaged in chanting the holy name, you've engaged in devotional service without cessation, without interruption. So you're considered a pure devotee and an advanced devotee, but not a perfect devotee. Perfect devotee means completely self-realized, and that person is described in Lord Chaitanya's answer the next year. When the residents of Kulinagram ask them what is their duty and how to recognize the Vaishnava. So if you come back next year, and I'm also here, and I get a chance to speak on that one. Hare Krishna. Do you have any questions or comments? I just one thing I should add before that we don't get too carried away, that although we don't associate with non-devotees, but our acharyas, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, have explained that it doesn't mean that if we work in a business, in an office, and they're non-devotees, that we don't talk to them, we just ignore them. He said that in normal human interaction at work, or even in the family, we have family members who are not devotees. So he said, in the workplace or in the family, we do have normal interactions with them. We're polite. But we don't take them seriously when they talk about spiritual matters. But if by, you're in the office and you meet someone at the water cooler and the person says, Hi, how are you doing? How was your weekend?
Oh, geez.
It doesn't mean that. Say, oh, it was nice. How was your weekend? And we know what their nice weekend was. All sorts of things you wouldn't even dare to mention. So you can be polite. You don't want to disrupt the relationships that work or in the family. But we don't take them seriously. And especially when it comes to spiritual subjects, listen to that. Suggestion. In fact, there's a verse in the Bhagavatam that says that it's instructions for Grihastha Ashram, and a lot of the time, like if someone in the family is a devotee and the others aren't, or maybe in the immediate family they're devotees, but in the extended family they're not all devotees, so they always give advice, You shouldn't be into Krishna consciousness so much. You can go for Janmashtami, or even go once a week on Sunday if there's nothing else. But don't get so deep into it. More important is make money and buy things. And so the Bhagavatam says that externally, you should agree. Sukadeva Goswami, who was like so renounced, he looked at people who were wearing a loincloth, he was like so renounced. Sukadeva Goswami here, he does his anti-protection of Narada, Narada's teaching on Sukhasara. He says that externally, you should agree. Said, yes, you're right. But internally, one should be fixed. in one's condition about the actual goal of life, and one should act accordingly. So that sort of social interaction, you know, get to be a little diplomatic, she thinks it's peaceful, is acceptable. Because if you try to preach to them, then, you know, there could be disruption. And if you take what they take seriously, yeah, actually, I'm spending too much time in the temple. Yeah, actually, these people aren't good. So that's what they're not really devoted to teaching. And the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says you should do your duty, you should work. They're probably in the temple because they have nothing better to do. I couldn't make it in the material world. So we're the real devotees. We're doing what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. We're working. So that's what you should do. Work more. So whatever it is, whatever the variation is on the atheistic idea that comes to us from these varieties of non-devotees, we shouldn't take them seriously. We don't need to argue with them, we can be polite. Yeah, that's very interesting to think about that. But don't take them seriously. But really, make friends with devotees. And really, devotees, you know, genuine devotees are your best friend. They really are. And that's where you should look for intimacy, the association of advanced devotees. And then that will help us to reach that stage of true love for Krishna. And then we enter it. Our eternal, most intimate relationship with Hare Krishna. Yes, so we want to go.
I want to see the two parts. Sometimes some devotees, they behave towards you in a way that they are not like the so we try to avoid them, we feel different. Is that also not that?
Maybe not. Yes, the model for them. Are the questions being picked up on the sound system?
No,
I didn't. Okay. So Gopinath Prabhu says that there might be a devotee who's not very favorable to us. So we tend to want to avoid such a devotee, and is it proper and is it version of offense. And the answer is given by Srila Rupa Goswami, it's reiterated by every acharya, but one can avoid intimate association with the person, but one should offer the person respect within the mind. In other words, we can avoid intimate association, but we should not disrespect the person. We should be conscious this person is a devotee, even if the person is on a material platform, but the person is making an effort to become a devotee, so we should respect that. And that's that redemption that one should offer, even if they're just beginning to chant, just trying to chant, we should offer them respect. Within the mind. You can imagine like exchange obeisances. I mean, it depends on certain things, but that would lead to producing more, and if there's too much tension. But within your mind, you should respect that person is a devotee, that person is making an effort, that person is doing service, that person is trying to chant. There shouldn't be any hatred or animosity. Don't have to be that close to the person. Like we discussed and sort of polite in an external way. But we don't have to be intimate. And that's not the sense. Yes, Mr. Munda?
When you're chanting on the beat, it enhances the chanting because we're chanting on 50 beats. similarly, you correctly say that, you know, when we're not saying we're beasts, and we're chanting, but we're chanting while we're doing some service to Krishna, serving the holy name, but that chanting becomes enhanced by that service.
Interesting question. If another group says you chant on the Shvastimala and chanting on Shvastimala enhances our chanting, because first it engages the sense of touch, and Srila Prabhupada said that the more senses that are engaged in chanting, the better it is. And if we just engage the sense of touch and the sense of hearing, then the mind will be fixed. And of course, certain deeds are sacred, trophies, so that's also good. And our acharyas have also commented on deeds, because deeds are so important, that we can see each deed as like the lotus toes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu on the chain. But if you want to put this action like when you're doing service, and chanting at the same time, whether the service would enhance the chanting. Well, it depends on the service. You know, if you're driving and you're singing Chaitanya, I mean, you shouldn't be driving your phone. But if it doesn't, you know, if you can do the service properly and at the same time chant, that's good. That's good. Driving along to you.
That's an easy way to, for example, while you're doing certain deeds.
It really depends on whether you can do justice to the service while chanting. If you can, then it's very good. But otherwise, it's a good point. Good point. I just described to you cleansing of the Gurudeva temple, that the only thing you could give was the holy name. And if somebody wanted a broom, they sort of make it known they wanted a broom, but there's a Krishna. If someone needed a pot of water, you know, Krishna. And we had one devotee who joined the temple in Juhu, but he lived in ashrams before he joined. And he said that in one ashram, that during prasad they would always chant. You know, between barks they would chant. And if they needed something, they would say that, Hare Krishna. Yeah. Come on, where's the right? Hare Krishna. So the more we can chant, the better. And while we're doing service, and that's also due to Goswami's instruction. And again, it relates to Nirantara, that we should always chant, and that the deity worship should be preceded by, followed by, you know, chanting of the holy name. And as far as possible, our service should be accompanied by the chanting. Yes, that's true. That's very good. Yes, that's what I'm
that's probably one
benefit. Well, that's a very important question. It says that when we chant, we may be aware that we're committing offenses, especially being inattentive. But even when we try to chant without offense, with attention, our mind still wanders. And sometimes it seems like it's away from the holy name more than it is with the holy name. And sometimes it feels like we're going down instead of up. Well, the fact that you're conscious that your mind is wandering itself is good. His Holiness Srinivasa Swami used to quote some authority that there are four stages. the lowest is unconscious and competent, then higher is conscious and competent, and then higher is conscious competent, and then the higher is unconscious competent. So relating that to our situation, someone might be chanting attentively and not even be conscious of it. So you're in the next category. You do chant inattentively a lot of the time, but you're conscious of it. So that's good. And you're working to chant with more attention, and that's good. That's like the beginning of the clearing stage. Clearing stage means that one is constantly endeavoring to chant for the attention. And the Bhagavad Gita says, you know, whenever the mind wanders through this flickering and unsteady nature, you should bring it back to the self. So that's clear. And Chanchala Himana Krishna, the mind is, you know, more difficult to control the mind than the wind. So it's difficult. But the other thing is that attentive chanting is not a matter only of the effort we make at the time of chanting. It's really the combination of everything we do in our lives. Like if you commit an offense to a Vaishnava, that will disturb your chanting. You're not committing the offense while you're chanting, you've committed the offense some other time, but it will disturb you while you're chanting, or any of your offenses. So we want to be conscious throughout our lives to do things that will be favorable to our chanting and to avoid things that will be unfavorable. For example, you might have realized that it's favorable to chant in the early morning, for example. So then, to support that, you don't want to take rest early. You won't want to eat too heavy of a meal before you take rest. So that's sort of on a more physical level. And then, you know, in terms of the offenses, we want to keep good relations with the devotee. You know, we want to keep our lives simple, so we don't have too many complexities. Because if there's too many complications, then those will come to our minds and we're chanting. But, you know, our performance when we chant is really the culmination of how we're living our whole life. And a lot of the work required to be able to chant attentively takes place when we're not chanting. You know, the other 22 hours a day. So, but it's a valiant effort you're making, just the fact that you're conscious of it and making the effort. So, we offer you all respects for that, and don't feel discouraged, but keep at it. And Krishna will help you. It's not just our own effort that works, it's the combination of our effort and Krishna's mercy. And when Krishna sees that we're making the effort, like Mother Yashoda is trying to bind Krishna, when Krishna sees that we're making the effort, he'll His heart will soften and he'll be merciful and allow us to allow himself to be bound, at least for to some extent. Okay. Thank you very much for very special
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.